again, 148 in your hymnals, 148, where we'll never grow old. Let's all stand, shall we? Page 148.
I have heard of a man on the far away strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul. Built by Jesus on high, there we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old.
148 on the second.
In that beautiful home, where we'll never more roam, we shall be in the sweet part and by. Happy praises, O King, through eternity sing. 'Tis a land where we never shall die. Never.
But some of you are past the expiration date. So you are, do you remember? I was saying, I'll say this real quick. I don't want you to have to stand because we wouldn't want to do that to you. And long. Do you remember? How many of you remember the 70s? You? That was 50 years ago. I mean, it sounds like 10 years ago, the 70s. But sometimes when you mention, yeah, in the 70s, and depending on who's in the crowd, they'll give this kind of look. Like, wow, like you said, the 1800s. But when you think about it, 50 years ago. Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're at lunch. A guy said to me, hey, did you hear about my grandson? I said, no. He said he was killed in a motorcycle accident by Fort Wayne. And so, of course, that's an entry I could say, boy, you got to be ready, don't you? You got to know because your life could end. You got to know where you're going. He said, hey, he didn't really know, and they're not really having a service. And I wanted to volunteer and say, you know, you don't have anybody. I mean, that just sounds kind of tacky, but 24 years old. And I was on a motorcycle and going too fast. Somebody hit him, and life here ends. So Is there life after death? Absolutely. That's what the Bible teaches. You and I can go, well, you know, I think, but you don't waste. You don't have to think. You have to read that book. Pray with me. Father, we come tonight. We want to love you, worship you. We want to be encouraged. We want to get better at trying to live for you. And we pray that you will be pleased with what we sing and how we sing and how we listen and how we preach. All of it, how we give, how we pray. Thank you that we can be here and give us a tender heart. May our heart be tender to whatever you want to say to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Page 115 in your hymnals, Living for Jesus. 115.
Come, ushers, we're going to give so you have an opportunity to give. Bailey would like you to pray for him. He has a court date on Thursday, and you pray that the judge is in a good mood and that he, if he doesn't look at Bailey, Bailey will be okay. But if he looks at Bailey, he's going to go, man, that guy ought to go away for a long time. I just pray for Bailey on Thursday, would you please? Roger needs someone on Wednesday for King's Kit. Awana. Some habits are hard to change. Awana, to work the bus. You don't have anybody yet, right?
No.
We need, would you see him if you can ride the bus to pick kids up 5:45 on Wednesday? And then, of course, we have Awana, and then afterwards, take him home. It's not a bus load, so it isn't like, but if you could do that, would you make sure you see him? We really need someone to do that. Because if you don't volunteer, he may draft you. If you have a bulletin, you'll notice there. Awana, of course. Teens will meet the youth center. Adults here. Jail on Thursday. Thanksgiving dinner in 2 weeks. The ladies are at Prairie Baptist for the conference. There's a sign-up list, and you can check with Amy if you have questions about that. The Christmas shoe boxes are in the lobby. And if you have questions about that, the due date, I don't know. The boxes need to be packed. by November 16th. So if you have questions about that, you see Shirley on that. Would you please? Veterans Day. How many veterans do we have? Connie? Are you really a veteran?
I didn't die.
Yeah, Connie either. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, veterans. You're veterans, right? Thank you. Thank you. I am. I technically am. Yeah. Oh, I don't get anything, but I just have an honorable discharge. But thank you. Thank you. Really. We, you know, our country, when you go back in history, our country has always been dominant. Our country. And we take it for granted. We take it for granted that we want other countries scared of us. Right? Not that some nut will let rockets loose, but that we're prepared. Hello? We're prepared. If you want to pick a fight with us, we have an army, we have a navy, we have an air force, we have we don't pick the fight, but we don't run from it. Right? David and Goliath, David didn't pick the fight, but he didn't run from it. And God was on his side. And you need to pray that way for your country, that God stays on our side, because we sure need him. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord. For what we have, what we enjoy. Thank you for our country. I pray for wisdom for our leaders. And rather than just pointing at each other and fussing about everything, I pray they'll just figure out they need to do something. And just move on them. Give them wisdom to do what they ought to do and that they'll do it right. We give tonight because you're worth it. We're here tonight because you're worth it. Thank you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Choir, please take your hymnals once again and turn to 110. Make me a blessing. 110. Let's all stand, shall we? Seated. The ukuleles are coming to play now.
A pilgrim was I, and the one
I practiced with them this afternoon. I was leaving church this morning, and they were practicing, and I had the hanger that my suit coat was on, and so I pulled it out and practiced with them. So the reason they sounded so good was because they had a professional practicing with them. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. I'll move you away from that thought real quick before you are mean to me. Hebrews, I'm going to do it to you again. This morning it was Acts 8, 9, and 10. Tonight it's Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Hebrews, the third chapter and the fourth chapter. Friend of ours sent a picture from Canada. He said, "Hey, we're getting snow up here." I sent him a picture back and said, "So? I've seen snow. You get just because you're in Canada, so it's supposed to get to 80 on Friday, so we're somewhere. Not here. But the snow's going to melt, so be careful. When you go home tonight, be careful. Some of you don't drive in it for a whole year, or shorter than that. Hebrews, you have that? I want you, if you can follow along, you can either listen to it as I take you through it, or you can look at it. Hebrews, the third chapter. We're going to do some in chapter 3, some in chapter 4, and if I feel that I can make the trip, I'll include the whiteboard. But if it gets to be too, I never know. I don't read this, and I'm just hoping to be Spirit-led. I want to help you. I don't want to just talk. I'm not just trying to. You made the effort to take a nap so you could stay awake tonight. You made the effort to come here, get dressed, and you resplashed whatever you put on to smell good, and you did all those things. And so I want to make sure that you're helped. You can worship God at home. So if you came just to worship, we're not going to do a lot of that, even though we are, but we're here to get encouraged, edified. The Bible talks about coming to God's house to get edified. Hebrews, the third chapter and the fourth chapter. Look at verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 3. He says, "Wherefore, holy brethren." I do not feel worthy of that. Makes me uncomfortable. I don't consider myself holy. God does. God does. I don't. When God looked at his son, and Jesus hung on the cross and paid for my sins, because that's what the Bible says, God saw me. For he made him to be sin for us. So God didn't just punish his son and say, "Boy, that was rough to watch." When that whole redemption plan played out on Calvary, now God is able to see us like he sees his son. Because when he saw his son on the cross paying for our sins, he saw us. And now when he looks at us because of what Jesus did, he sees holy brethren. Man, isn't that, what a deal. Who would not go for that? He writes, verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." We trust Christ because he calls us out. We don't do it because we want to. We do it because he says, we read and hear, whether it's a tract or his Bible, we see that he loves us.
Jesus said, John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they, the scriptures, which testify of me. I came to God when God was ready for me. I mean, it took him a while to go, you know, do we really want him? And then I heard the gospel. I heard that Jesus died for me. I heard that God made him pay for my sins on the cross. And then even though he died, after 3 days, God raised him up from the dead. And if I, according to Romans 10, if I turn to him in faith, he sees what Jesus did, like I did it, holy brethren. And then he goes on there, partakers of the heavenly calling. So I realized when the Bible says he came into his own, John 1, came to his own received him not. But to as many as received him, partake. You have to receive what he did. You've got to say, I can't do this. Nothing that I can do is on God's list. The only thing on God's list is that we receive what he did. I did that. That Hebrews is reminding us of what it took. So there's a lot there, but verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, capital A, and high priest, capital H and P, of our profession, names him Christ Jesus. I'm going to heaven because of him. I'm not going to heaven because of me. I'm going to heaven because God called me out. You need me. You can't do it. They told me I got baptized. I did my first Holy Communion. I was confirmed. We were eating at Cosmos last night. My Uncle Jim's three children were in town. They have a grandmother here, and they came to go to there's that college up there, plays football. They came to go to that game, and so we met them at Cosmos, and there's a picture on the wall of Cosmo, and used to be Bishop Crowley. When I was a kid, it was Bishop Crowley. And so they're all looking, and Cosmo said, that's Bishop Crowley. And I said, because he did, I said, he slapped me. And I know some of them are thinking, and you deserved it. But when you're confirmed, which I'm not a good Catholic anymore, and I never was, but when you're confirmed, when you hit the seventh grade, you now are, it's the Catholic bar mitzvah. And you dress up, and the bishop, all you seventh graders, you're lined up at the altar, and you're kneeling, and your hands are folded, and he prays something over you, and then he slaps you in the face. Not real hard. Well, some of us it was hard, but. And you say, what's all that mean? I don't know. But I got confirmed. And so I kept looking for that because I wanted to make sure that's going to get me to heaven. And it isn't there. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then it says, for whosoever shall call. But God, you only call on him because he called you first. You don't say, I'll turn to God when I want. It doesn't work that way. Verse 2, chapter 3, Hebrews 3, verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And then he goes on and he brags about Christ and what he did. verse 7. Hebrews 3, verse 7. If you'll allow me, I'm skip some of that. And I want to get to the gist. Verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today. You know what today means? Now, don't hesitate. Don't put it off. Once you know that's God calling you. He says, verse 7, today, if ye will hear his voice. Look at verse 8. Harden not your hearts. And that means, don't be stubborn. Realize you need a Savior. You know, the Bible is deep, but a lot of it is repetitive. The Lord's Supper is not deep. The Lord's Supper is repetitive. We remind ourselves what he did for us. So the writer of Hebrews, whoever that is, says, verse 8, chapter 3, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When the children of Israel could have responded to God, they decided just to be stubborn. Do you have kids? Were your kids stubborn? They can be, can't they? What did I tell you? I'll tell you what. I still struggle with being a smart aleck. No comments. Don't look at my wife's head. And if you think I'm bad now, I was really bad when I was lost. My mom would say, I, growing up, I didn't know if every kid was, but I was a slob. I didn't like cleaning. I didn't like putting stuff away. If it was on the floor, I knew where it was. I mean, I don't need those dressers. I'll just put it on the floor and it's there. Hanging on a knob, I can find it. She would say, I'm going to come back in an hour. And all this stuff better be put away. So I would make some comment like, and if it isn't? See, that's dumb. I never said I was smart. She would come back, she'd go, aren't you tired of living in this pig pen? And I would say, no, I enjoy it. It's my room. If you don't want to come in my room, you don't have to. I tried all those things once. We still do the same. He's not going to tell me, talking about God, he's not going to tell me what to do. You've hardened your heart. You're stubborn. If I'm not doing what he wants me to do, and notice, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That we have that disease in Christianity. We're stubborn. I know. You know, you ought to read your Bible more. I know. I don't know what you call it. Here's what God calls it. He calls it hardening your heart. It's nothing else. I know I should pray more. And we feel if we say it right, then we're not really that stubborn. Well, you are. Remember when Samuel told Saul, hey, when you get to where God wants you to go, you need to do what God wants you to do. Samuel was God's spokesman, and Saul said, got it. And they get there, and God said, when you get there, kill the king. Don't bring anything back. And so, of course, Saul had his own idea. And all Saul did, he destroyed everything but the king and some of the animals. You with me? And when Samuel got there and he said, you did not do exactly what God told you to do. And I think Saul argued with him. I think Saul said, well, you know how you said that? Well, hey, missed you in church. Well, hey, you ought to be in God's house. Well, and I think when Samuel said to Saul, hey, man, I hear animals. They're not supposed to be in it. You're supposed to kill everything. And I think Saul said, well, you remember Samuel's response? That stubbornness and rebellion was the same thing as worshiping the devil. I didn't say that. I'm just quoting to you what God said, because that's how much he hates it. Verse 12, chapter 3. Take heed, brethren. Take heed means be careful. Take heed, brethren, lest there be. Lest means it could be. So you always have to act like it could. Don't ever think it could not happen to you. It could happen to you. He says, lest there be, verse 12, lest there be in any of you. He doesn't just call it. This always gets me. These verses get me. Here's why. Because he just, to him it is, well, unbelief, there's doubt. Doubting God could, you know, get us through the wilderness. So they provoked him when they didn't think God could conquer their enemies and get them to where they ought to get. And God wasn't worth it. And they were starving and they were thirsty. And wish we were back in Egypt. They provoked God. And so God said, you're doubting me. You're doubting what I can do. You're doubting who I am. That's what verse 12 is saying. Be careful, it happened to them, it can happen to you. And he calls it an evil heart of unbelief. Wow. That's brutal. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You're just running away from him. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily. Some of you don't struggle with doubt like some of us do. I'm a doubter. Hey, I don't sell drugs. I don't sit at the bar. I don't shoot little old ladies. I don't run them over. But I struggle with faith, with doubt. Can God meet my needs? Can God take care of me? Can I trust him? Don't look at me like I'm from Mars. But some of you don't. And so, if you don't, verse 13, if you don't, exhort, encourage. You could trust God. Man, God can answer prayer. When I pray, I remind myself, I read scriptures that remind me that he can answer prayer. I'm not just talking to him. I'm holding him to his word. Hey, you said. Remember when your kids would do that? You promised. They ever say that to you? Soon as I'm done here, we're going to go get ice cream or whatever. And boy, you forgot. They didn't. But I'm telling you, when we read in Hebrews 4 that we can come boldly, hey, you promised. You're not making God do something he doesn't want to do. You're just saying, I'm leaning, I'm trust, because you promised me. Notice what he says in verse 13. Exhort one another daily. Because we struggle with it every day. I do. And then it comes again. While it is called today. Or now. I'll tell you another one of my gifts. I'm a procrastinator. Okay? I don't cuss. I don't get drunk. I'm giving you all my good points so that when I give you my bad points, you don't think I'm that bad. I don't speed a lot. I stop at stop signs in the middle of nowhere because I've been encouraged that there's still stop signs. You know, in my mind, I'm like, nobody's around. And there's people that I know. Huh? He pulls them over and they say, yeah, you see that stop sign? Yeah. Well, you didn't stop. They respond to him, this guy I know. Yeah, but I slowed down. So this guy I know responds. If I start hitting you with my flashlight, do you want me to stop or slow down? So I stop. Because there may be another one of him out there. He says in verse 13, now's the time. Why? Lest any of you be hardened, stubborn. I want to do what I want to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do. That's a terrible quality. Hey, can I just say, there's a lot of Christians that struggle with that. They struggle with doing what they want. They are hard. They're tough. And the word is stubborn. Verse 13. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, thinking that you can get away with it. Verse 15. While it is said, remember that? He just said that earlier. Verse 15. While it is said today, you know the best time to obey God is right away. Here's you. I can see it. I can hear your brain. I know. You don't say it with that bad of an attitude, but you have a bad attitude about it. You need to obey God right away. Here we go. I know. You don't do all these terrible, awful, sinful things. But we just don't respond to God like we should. So he says it again, verse 15, while it is today, it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I don't know if you're counting, but that's three so far. Three times, not even in the whole chapter, that he's saying, now's the time. Don't be stubborn. That's another gift I have. I'm stubborn. And it isn't me. It's not my fault. My wife is smiling. Don't look at her. Don't look at her. Because she gives everything away. Look, I'm telling you, I do not cuss. I don't even use slang. But I'm stubborn. Chapter 4. Let us therefore. Good word, Joe, isn't it? Let us therefore fear. Joe's talking about that in Sunday school, fearing God. Let us therefore what? Fear. Fear what? Letting God down, not doing what God wants. He's keeping track. It's always amazing to me when we're on, our, you know, wherever we were, old Florida, that you could just zoom down the road and to go on certain roads, you have to pay. But they don't take money. They just take a picture of your license plate and send you a bill. Hey, they're going to start doing that when you speed. They're going to start doing that when you don't stop at stop signs. I mean, God wants us to know that he's watching, he's keeping track. This is about him. We need to do what he wants. Doesn't matter what we want. We can't be stubborn. We got to do it now. Verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. We got to get to where we're going because we got to get out of here. I'm hungry again. My food wore off. Verse 7, he says, again, he limited the certain day, saying in David, today. After so long a time, as it is said, today. If ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Are you counting? That's four. You know what God is saying? You're better off to trust me. You're better off as soon as you can do what I want. That's the best thing you can do in your life. And I'm here to tell you, what he told me to tell you in chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm exhorting you that I know that's true. Not only do I know it because I've done it, but I've read it, I know it, he said it, I believe him. I've been talking to him. He's been talking to me for a long time. So I know that when he says that four times, the fourth time, verse 7, chapter 4, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. And he doesn't explain it. He just says, look, this is what you ought to be. This is how you ought to be. Don't fuss with God. Did your parents say this? Your mom says, clean your room. You say, why? She pulls out the mom Bible. Because I said so. One time, I protested that statement. But never after that one time. My mom was a disciplinarian. Or we called her the lady wrestler back before it was popular. She made sure that we did what she said to do. And if we questioned what she wanted, because I said so, that should be enough. And that's actually what's happening here. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 12, famous verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even of the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrows, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what that verse means? Y'all read the Bible. Nothing will make you what you ought to be. Nothing will show you what you are. Nothing will show you what you aren't like the Bible. That's the purpose of it. It isn't just to sit and look pretty. It's because it does something to us. It's, as he said, the word of God is quick. It's living. When you read it, it talks back to you. Verse 14, 15, and 16. And I've saved the last 10 minutes for the whole point I want to make. Here's the point I want to make. God feels what we feel. He says in verse 14, seeing then, in other words, what I've said, here's why I've said it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. He names him Jesus, the Son of God. You know, Jesus died for you, but before he died for you, he lived for you. Born. Hey, Christmas is coming. Man, I was looking at people have their Christmas lights up already. Weirdos. It's snowing. Hey, they're playing Christmas. Amy has been watching Christmas shows. Can we eat turkey first? Jesus was born. But he existed before he was born. That can't be said of anybody else. That can't be said of any other person, God, Allah, Buddha, Confucius. That can't be said of anyone but Jesus Christ. He's born into this world as a baby. How humble can you get? Hey, Luke and Brittany Stevens. I always go by location. They always sit on my left. She had a baby, very, very Brittany, very, very premature. Would you just pray for them, Luke and Brittany Stevens? Jesus was born. His bed was a bowl where animals ate. Let me ask you a question. I want to test your theology. Was Jesus God? Was Jesus God as a baby? Before he came, he was God. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So here's Jesus, little baby, helpless little baby, but he's God. And he grows up. You know, he ministers, heals the sick, raises the dead, feeds the hungry. And then they nail him to a cross. And one of his many sayings from the cross was this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You better know. You better know what you're doing. You better figure it out. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I'm looking that word up, hold fast. In the Greek, it's one word, hold fast. You know what it means? Don't loosen up. It literally means don't relax. It doesn't mean don't ever relax. It just means don't relax when it comes to Jesus. You understand? He's Jesus. You need wherever you are. On vacation, we treated him. We worshiped him. He's still Jesus. We didn't relax that. Verse 15, for we have not. Verse 15, see that? We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly. Do you know why we can come boldly? Because he knows what we're going through. When you pray and say, Lord, I need you to do that, he knows the pain, he knows the anguish. When verse 15 says that he was touched, that means he had the same feeling that we have when we're talking to him and when we're going through what we're going through. He didn't just save you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He isn't just trying to get you into heaven and goes, all right, that's done. Every emotion, every feeling, every good time, hard time, everything you go through, he knows the feeling. What a God. What a God. Let us therefore, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't it great? Just follow me just for a couple minutes. We have someone that understands perfectly what we're going through. Some of you have lost your mate. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't want to go through that. I don't understand. I understand it hurts. I understand it's hard. I understand it's an adjustment. Jesus understands perfectly. Well, he's God. Yeah, that's right, he's God. Yeah. And he came down here and walked through life like you and I walked through life. So he never lost a mate like I did, but you know what? He's God. Everything that touches us touches him. Man, when I pray, I can come boldly because I know, excuse my language, he gets it. He gets it. Do you ever tell someone something and they kind of look at you like, I'm listening, but I don't understand. I don't get it. When you talk to him, he gets it. When I struggle with what I struggle with, he doesn't say, oh, toughen up, buttercup. He was touched. When I said, Lord, I'm struggling with this, you know what he says? I'm feeling that too. So the boldness that I have is from the fact that he feels that. Calls him our high priest. The high priest was responsible. As he would enter the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. He would make a sacrifice for himself and then one for the people. As he entered the Holy of Holies, he would bring blood in. He would sprinkle the blood from the sacrifice on the mercy seat, God's throne. Leviticus in chapter 16 talks about this. He was doing what God told him to do. God said, this is what I want for now until Jesus comes. But I want you to kill the sacrifice. Take the blood and put it on my throne. Identify that blood with me. Go back to chapter 3, would you? Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 is reminding us that we believe what he did. We believe what he said. We don't have to do anything. We just, verse 19 says that they couldn't enter in. They couldn't get all they were supposed to get because, verse 19 of chapter 3, unbelief. Jesus has direct access to God. When I pray in his name, I'm talking to the one who has direct access to God. I'm not alone. He died for me. He feels for me. He understands exactly what I go through because he was touched. When you're having a hard time, when you're weak, no matter what you're going through, he knows what it's like. And of course, chapter 10 tells us, you don't have to go there, I'm going to grab it. Hebrews 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, it says, by the blood of Jesus. Jesus understands what you're feeling. He's gone through everything you'll ever go through. You should have boldness to come to God knowing he can take care of it, knowing he understands. I think too often we pray to God like, he doesn't have time for me. You know, I'm a bother. When I come to God, God is going through what I'm going through. He isn't just like, I'm sorry, don't be offended. When I was a Catholic, we went to confession. When you go in that little stall, the priest is in the middle, there's two on each side. When the green light comes on, it means your turn, literally. you go in the booth. You kneel, you face the middle, and he has a little partition. He slides his partition open, and then there's a screen. You can't see him. But as soon as he opens that, you say, "Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been, for some of us, it was too long. It's been 3 weeks since my last confession." And so then you would begin to tell him your sins. I'm thinking of everything I need to tell him. I'm a young kid. The door slides open. I said, "Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been whatever since my last confession." So I'd start running down the list. I hit my sister. That was always a big one. Because I did. She deserved it. But I hit her. It was, I shouldn't have, but it didn't help her. But I should have hit her more, maybe. All of a sudden he goes, "Say three Our Fathers and two Hail Marys," and bam, he shuts the door. Thinking, that's it? I mean, now that isn't, I'm just saying, so I can do anything I want? Go in his booth where nobody's there? Let me tell you though, I knew his voice and he knew my voice. And my dad cut his hair. And I served mass under him. And some weeks, depending on my confession, he looked at me like something was wrong. And that isn't fair. Because I thought it was all confidential. I'm in a little dark room and I can't see him, but of course I didn't change my voice. "Bless me, Father, for I've sinned." He didn't change his voice. When you and I talk to God, God knows. God made you. He's God. He's already paid the penance. He never sinned. He never gave up. He never lost faith. He never doubted. He never whined. He never complained. He never lost hope. But he knows what you and I go through. If you will, he bleeds with us. As a man, he went through the experience of every trial that we'll ever face. He knows suffering like we do. He knows misery like we do. He knows pain like we do. He knows persecution like we do. He knows what it's like to be poor. He knows what it's like even to be killed. He was touched. He came to earth and he died for you. And he lived before he died so he can understand what we mean when we come to him, Hebrews 4 and verse 16, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Keep in mind, 2 minutes, watch. Keep in mind, the next time you pray, he's feeling the same thing you are. He's God, and he can take care of your sin, but he also knows exactly what you're going through. He feels it. And he's bigger than whatever you're going through. If he conquered death, and he did. Look at me. If he conquered death, and he did. He can conquer whatever you're going through. He knows about it. He ain't like, what? What? I've mentioned this before. Our dentist, Dr. Magnuson, never had a cavity. He's drilling on me. You need a break? Yeah. I don't get Novocained. I'm tough. So I go, "You know what, Doc? You need to let one of us drill on you." He goes, "Yeah, I've never had my teeth drilled on." I said, "That's terrible. You're drilling on us
shooting us with needles. I won't let you do that anymore. But if you've never, you ever get numb? No. You've never been drilled, never had a cavity? No. That ain't right. I don't care, just as long as he does a good job on my teeth. But I do know that Jesus Christ knows everything perfectly, what I'm going through. And he's bigger than it. When I come boldly, he never says, wow, that's a tough one. He could take care of it. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. Lord, I pray that we'll learn to pray like Jesus knows. And our boldness, you said, when we come like that, we can find grace to help in time of need. Grace being God's goodness to us when we don't deserve it. That's what we all need. And I want to pray. I want to pray like Jesus knows and understands, and he feels. He feels. We don't. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmity. So every area of our life that we would call an infirmity, he knows it. He feels it. He has perfect experience with it. When someone goes through a hard time, whatever it is, he's God. He was man enough, God enough to know exactly what it's like. Lord, help us tonight not to leave here without saying, you know what? I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to pray better. I'm going to make sure I'm not stubborn about what I'm supposed to do for God. I'm going to do what he wants me to do now, and I'm not going to be hard about it because he loves me. He died for me. He knows exactly what I go through. And so, Lord, even when we struggle to do what we know we're supposed to do, you understand that. You don't say, I don't know what you're talking about. You know exactly what we struggle with, the feelings of our infirmities. Thank you for that. We want to be better Christians. We want to be more obedient Christians, and we want to be more obedient quicker. You said today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Your head bowed, your eyes closed, please. You're not looking around. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. Hey, preacher, before we go tonight, I'm going to let you know, God's speaking to my heart. There's something I want him to do. I'm trusting him. I want to believe him. I want to live like he knows it and can do it. And here's my hand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. God speaking to my heart. Up and down, up and down. Can I see it? If God's speaking to you. Preacher, God speaking to my heart. God speaking to my heart. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight. And you just have your way. You might want someone to just come to this altar and say, okay, Lord, I know you. I trust you. I believe you. I want to believe that you can take care of anything. You are touched with the feeling of my infirmities. I want to live my life like I have a God that perfectly knows all that I go through. He's there. He is my comforter. Help us, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Piano's going to play. You're going to stand. Just real quick, a verse or two. God speak to your heart. You want to make a decision. But make sure Christ is your Savior. Make sure that you know when you die, whenever you die, however you die, make sure you know you'll be in heaven. The Bible tells us we can know that. We don't have to guess. God took care of it. John wrote, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And I hope that you know that. And if you know that, live like it. Talk to him like he's a God that cares. Talk to him like he wants to help you and can handle it. She's going to play through one more time just to give you an opportunity. Even as you stand and pray, or if you want to come, you come on. God's speaking to your heart. Leave here saying, I'm going to do what God wants. I'm going to do it right away. I'm going to quit messing around. I'm not going to give him a hard time. I'm not going to question him. I'm not going to doubt him. I'm going to do what he wants. I'm going to do what he wants. I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can talk to you. Thank you that you sent Jesus to pay for our sins. Thank you that Jesus can be our Savior. Thank you that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can get to the Father but through Him. But thank you that you laid that out, made that clear, and we can do that. You see us as holy. You've called us. Thank you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.